This video is brought to you by Imprint. Today, the battle for the European Commission presidency heats up, last-ditch Gaza ceasefire negotiations are held, and violence tarnishes Mexico's election. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Tuesday, the 30th of April, 2024. As the European elections approach and the position of the European Commission president hangs in the balance, the current president, Ursula von der Leyen, has signalled her willingness to collaborate with hard-right European parties, hoping to gain their support and secure a second term in the EU's most powerful role. Speaking at the first debate with presidential EU candidates, when asked by the Greens' lead candidate, Bas Eckert, about her potential cooperation with the European Conservatives and Reformists, or the ECR, after the EU elections, von der Leyen showed openness to a potential deal. The ECR encompasses parties like Italy's Fratelli d'Italia, Poland's Law and Justice, Spain's Vox, Belgium's New Flemish Alliance, Czechia's Civic Democratic Party, the Sweden Democrats, and the Finns Party. While von der Leyen has been openly critical of the Identity and Democracy Group, whose far-right positions have outraged pro-European parties, she has been more reluctant to denounce ECR after developing a good working relationship with Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. Von der Leyen did, however, set out conditions for working with parts of the ECR, saying that parties that join her coalition must be pro-NATO, pro-EU, pro-Ukraine, and pro-rule of law. Her statement on her openness to an ECR collaboration marks a crucial moment in the campaign for EU control, as such an alliance would undoubtedly shift EU policymaking rightwards. It would also have consequences for von der Leyen's current leading loose coalition, which compromises her European People's Party with the Socialists, Liberals, and the Greens. Together, they've directed the bloc since 2019, but now Leyen faces the possibility of losing support of this coalition. Eckhart, for instance, expressed shock at Leyen's potential right-wing alliance, which could challenge the EU's green policies, and accused her of lowering and really watering down the Green Deal for farmers. Eckhart added that within the ECR, you have the same people that want to weaken Europe, that want to water down our green policies. Despite polling quite poorly, the Greens' leader received significant support from the audience, mostly compromising of university students. Whilst von der Leyen tried to convince her commitment to climate change, she failed to provide concrete plans. Aside from the Green Deal, the presidential candidates clashed on a number of topics, from the Israel-Hamas war, irregular migration, artificial intelligence, and TikTok. The debate concluded with von der Leyen and Eckhart emerging as clear winners, while others struggled to make an impact. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for more daily briefing tomorrow. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Paddy Finn, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. A senior Hamas delegation was in Cairo, Egypt, on Monday for ceasefire negotiations that may be the final opportunity to prevent an Israeli military assault on Rafah. The delegation is now considering the latest offer from Israel and is being urged by international actors to accept it. While the full details are not public knowledge, the latest Israeli proposal would see Hamas initially release some 33 of the remaining hostages held in Gaza, while Israel would reciprocate by releasing a number of Palestinian detainees. This would be part of a 40-day truce, with the deal reportedly also involving new wording on restoring calm meant to satisfy Hamas's demands for a permanent ceasefire, according to the BBC. Egyptian media reports that the Hamas delegation has now left Cairo and will issue a written response to the Israeli proposal. The US and UK have urged Hamas to accept the offer, describing it as generous, though Hamas has pushed back against this description. Meanwhile, Israel has also come under increasing international pressure to secure a hostage release and ceasefire deal. However, some of the more extreme members of the Israeli government do not favor striking a deal and instead want to push ahead with a military assault on Rafah. In news from Latin America, Mexico could be facing its most violent election in recent years, according to a think tank. 30 candidates have been murdered so far in 2024, with just over a month left until Mexicans vote in their largest ever general election on June the 2nd. This continues a recent trend of election violence in Mexico, which saw at least 30 political assassinations in 2021 and 24 in 2018. Experts say the rise in political violence, which is mostly local, shows the hold that organized crime groups have on local governments. In February, two mayoral candidates for Maravillato Michoacán were shot dead within hours of each other, one from President Andrés Manuel López Obrador Morena's party and another from the opposition National Action Party. Earlier this month, another Morena mayoral candidate, Gisela Gaitán Guterres, was also murdered. While the killings are most highly concentrated in states with particularly bad levels of organized crime, They have also spread to historically more peaceful states too. Now, on top of being a massive security issue, this also impacts democracy. Firstly, the fear of assassination obviously reduces the candidate pool. And as of last month, at least 46 opposition candidates had pulled out, with some estimates putting the true figure 3 or 4 times higher. Secondly, election violence has also been shown to impact turnout, with previous studies suggesting that for each attack on a candidate, voter turnout falls by 1.3%. We'll keep you updated on any Mexican election news over the next weeks, so be sure to subscribe for that. New York's Columbia University has begun suspending pro-Palestine student protesters who refused to dismantle a protest camp on campus as a wave of similar protests and demonstrations across the country and even further afield escalate. Columbia University said that talks between the student protesters and the school's administration and academic leaders had not resulted in an end to the encampment. And on Monday, the administration wrote to students warning them that if they did not vacate, that they would face immediate suspension. Protesters have vowed to stay put, reiterating their demands for the university to cut financial ties with Israel. Meanwhile, police dressed in riot gear confronted student protesters at the University of Texas in Austin, arresting dozens and forcibly dismantling the protest encampment. At UCLA in California, there were clashes between pro-Palestinian and pro-Israel protesters. According to the Associated Press, the number of arrests nationwide is approaching 900 since New York police removed a pro-Palestinian protest encampment at Columbia University and arrested more than 100 demonstrations nearly 2 weeks ago. The protests have even spread abroad, with similar encampments popping up at the Canadian and French universities. For example, French police removed pro-Palestine protesters for the Sorbonne University's courtyard, and McGill University in Canada threatened to bring in police to dismantle an encampment on campus. And finally, in some uplifting news, a new landmark study has found that global immunization efforts have saved an estimated 154 million lives over the past 50 years, the equivalent of 6 lives every minute of every year. The WHO-led study shows, quote, that immunization is the single greatest contribution of any health intervention to ensuring babies not only see their first birthdays, but continue leading healthy lives into adulthood. It found that the vaccine with the most significant impact on reducing infant mortality has been the measles vaccine, accounting for 60% of the lives saved due to immunization. Just like TLDR, Imprint is all about turning complex books and topics into something you can learn quickly, conveniently, and visually. It's super quick, with most lessons taking less than 2 minutes to complete, summarizing knowledge from all kinds of topics, using Harvard professors and best-selling authors to teach you key concepts. It's convenient because it's all housed in their easy-to-use mobile app, letting you replace doom scrolling whilst waiting for your train or coffee with actual learning. And it's visual because, well, just look at their app. If you've not used it before, you've likely never seen anything quite like it. Unlike traditional books, their animated explanations help you stay focused and understand concepts quickly and actually retain what you learn. So join the millions of users learning with Imprint, including me. I'm taking their course called The Order of Time right now. And you can do that using the link in the description. Plus, if you use that link, you'll get a free 7-day trial and get 20% off an annual plan when you sign up. Plus, they'll know you came from us. So check it out, support the channel, and thanks for watching TLDR.